Welcome to 2 points, one goal. We are back after a pretty long hiatus. We pretty much missed January. Pardo, tell the fans, say hello and tell the fans what maybe is in store today.
Oh yeah, well, you're bringing back the hook. Anyway, it's great to be back. I mean, obviously it's a Super Bowl special. We made the promise at the beginning of the pod that our goal was to make the Super Bowl. And it felt like, well, we got to Christmas, we got to the end of all the divisional games, but then playoffs came and I don't know, it was hard to get back in the groove of things, but we're back, we're here. Hopefully it's not for the last time, certainly last for the season. We might be back for the drafts, but certainly today is all about the Super Bowl and what happened last night. We'll be touching on a bit of the road and also plans for the future. Anything to add?
Well, let's just say life got in the way, right? I think we were pretty good the whole season, the regular season, 2 a week podcasts. Then we took a break over Christmas. And once you get out of the rhythm, you know, you've read that book, Atomic Habits. I don't know why I haven't, but I'm sure it mentioned something about sticking to habit. So we did it twice a week. Then as soon as we took a break, it was really hard to get going again. And we found one spot. And then now it's time to talk about the Super Bowl, because I think that's what everyone is here for. And yeah, we're actually finishing our quest. I think we should mention that, Pardo.
Yeah, it's a great milestone to make it to. And it almost felt so out of reach. We kept saying, oh, let's do it. You know, we wanted to do it before the Super Bowl so we can kind of build up to it nicely and stuff. But obviously, I mean, we should have done something last week. I mean, you're in the UK. It's the first time we've been face-to-face since starting the pod again. But we couldn't even galvanize ourselves to kind of do something while we're in the same country, but also in the same kind of vicinity. And it's just difficult to even I don't know why we didn't do that. But then it felt more doing it.
I think for avid listeners of the pod, they will know and they will remember the heady days of my internet issues. So there was 1 week during the playoffs where we had planned on two separate occasions to do a pod, and my internet went down for the whole week. So I had to go to a co-working space to do my day job. And obviously we didn't have time to do a pod, and in co-working spaces, it's quiet usually. You can't then take a mic and start doing a podcast. Anyway, and then last week, yes, I was in England doing my yearly visit with the family, shaking hands, kissing babies, the usual palaver, literally doing that. And it was very busy. My voice is a little bit hoarse because, you know, you're going around everywhere, talking to people, visiting three different families a day, driving there, driving here, driving everywhere. It was a great trip, but I did come back extremely tired because you're talking, you're busy, and it was like nonstop the whole week. So I just did not find, it's very rare that I go back to the UK. So when I go, you have to see everyone. Didn't find time for the pod, and also didn't have the equipment and everything with us. So it would have been, I'm a stickler for audio, even though probably, listener, if you're a good audio person, you will be saying, maybe the audio could be better. Yes, could be, of course. But we've had our days of bad audio, and now we use proper mics and everything. And then on the road, it's always harder. If you want to hear back to audio issues, check out our season from 2019. And you can also check out my On the Road pod when I went on that trip to London during this season. That was quite a good little adventure.
Yeah, check out the bad audio.
Check out the bad audio. And also do relive those adventures in London. But yeah, I think that gives us enough of a little background for the listener there about what's been going on in the... You know, it's always when you start a new year, there's so many things you have to take care of. Work picks up, just kind of starts at full pace, doesn't it, as you go into the new year? So I think the listener knows our perspective, understands us, and supports us, because we actually did get a lot of listens during the January period. I'm not sure, listener, why you were listening back to a podcast about what happened before the playoffs started, pretty much. But we thank you nonetheless for giving it a listen. And now we know the outcome.
I know. I mean, it's a shame though, because it's been there. I mean, the playoffs were, you know, really interesting, really, and it seems such a long time ago. Now, obviously, there's a gap before the Super Bowl last night, but I mean, I've got to give a special mention to my boys, the Lions. I mean, the best performance for those guys since forever, and we weren't talking about it. So, and
very true.
For the Super Bowl itself, I mean, that was such a heart-wrenching situation for them to kind of fall short against the 49ers in the final play of the game. And I was almost, you know, it's quite good in a way because I feel like a proper fan, you know, like we lost and it's like, well, I don't really care about the Super Bowl anymore, you know, whatever, you know, the Lions aren't there. It feels like it's such a dagger to the heart. It's like an FA Cup game, you know, it's like, well, yeah, I might watch it if I've got the time. But with it being such a difficult time for a UK or European fan, yeah, 11:30 it started. I think it finished at 4 a.m. with it going into overtime.
I think the coverage started, right? And then it doesn't kick off until a bit later. And then you've got like that huge gap for the Super Bowl show, the halftime show, sorry, which was Usher this year. I actually caught a few of those highlights and I was like, I watched like 30 seconds. I was like, not for me. But that halftime show takes a good, I think, 30 minutes or something. So then if you stay up, yeah, you're going to be up. And in my time in Germany, you would be up till 5 or something in the morning, which with two young kids, it's not possible for me. So I did, you know, as much as I did want to stay up and watch it, we checked out the highlights as soon as we woke up. And we saw that just the best in the business took the game home and took the second title in a row and the third of his career back to Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes and those Chiefs. What was the final score, Pardo? Do you have it in front of you?
I did. So it's it's finally 25 to the City Chiefs, 22 to the 49ers, going into overtime. And yeah, that last play of the game, I mean, fair play to Mahomes with seconds on the clock to kind of pull that out of the hat. It's just amazing to see. So, I mean, it was a bit, I mean, it's like waking up as a kid on Christmas, wasn't it? You know, because I didn't watch the game, but it's like, did you see the score before watching the highlights?
Yeah, I was actually like you, I was like a kid at Christmas. I was very excited because, my daughter woke me up at like 7 o'clock to go to get ready for school and stuff. And I just like, usually I'll try to get another 10 minutes in bed or half an hour in bed or whatever I can. But this morning I jumped up, even though I didn't sleep so well, I jumped up and I was like, right, what was the score? And then I started watching the highlights as soon as I woke up. That's why I'm a little bit blurry on it now because it was so early in the morning. But yeah, 22-22 at the full-time whistle, and then it went to overtime, right? And then, did you see that Jake Moody, I think his name is, the kicker for the 49ers. So when you're watching the highlights, he missed an extra point and it got blocked. And it wasn't like the Chiefs did an amazing play on the block. He kicked it quite a bit low. So, and it's like, and the tantalizing little commentary says, I wonder if that's going to make an impact, that missing that one point. And then lo and behold, it does. Because the Chiefs get back to 22-22. But the Chiefs were down by 10 points as well, which...
Exactly. I mean, I was keen to know whether you'd seen the score. I saw the score and I was watching the highlights and, you know, those, you know, first three quarters pretty much, you know, the 49ers were clearly the better team. They were on top. And Mahomes, first half, was struggling, you know, for an interception.
The magic of Mahomes, eh?
Yeah, but when the chips are down and, you know, the pressure's really on, and he just showed how good he was. And there's no doubting that, you know, he's, from my point of view, I mean, he's, you know, he's just a different beast to any other quarterback in the game currently, playing at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I wasn't around to see the likes of, you know, the previous old guards of quarterbacks that everyone raves about, right? But obviously we saw Tom Brady in his prime. But the difference with Mahomes is that, I mean, Brady was all brain, right? And with Mahomes, he's just, he's been brilliant to watch since he came into the league, because he can do everything. He can do he can do anything in a game, like any throw. He's also got the intelligence, the brain. But he did loads of plays in this game with his legs to convert like crucial third downs as well. And he's just the best I've seen since I've been watching NFL. It's like scintillating. It's just like you just know. And this also happened in the playoffs, right? That as soon as the City Chiefs, I'm calling them the City Chiefs now, like you do, as soon as the Kansas City Chiefs started winning, when it came to crunch time, you were like, "Uh-oh, look out, everyone!" And when it came to the Ravens, you know, I kind of have a soft spot for the Ravens. So I was thinking, maybe they'll get there. But I really didn't believe they would, because I just thought Mahomes is going to win this one. They looked, because they struggled all season and they couldn't catch a pass at the beginning of the season. And then
this is
come crunch time, Mahomes turns it on. Those receivers, I mean, Travis Kelce and is obviously a Hall of Famer, but Rashi Rice, a rookie who's had a great season, the rest are kind of average receivers. And like they dropped passes all season, and then when it matters, they catch everything, they pull plays out of the bag. Mahomes is, you know, throwing absolute dimes to Mecole Hardman down the field. I mean, it's just brilliant. And like you say, they were way behind the 49ers really for a long time. But also in the last Super Bowl that the Chiefs beat the 49ers, they were 10, I think. They had over a 10-point deficit in that game as well and came back to win. So Kyle Shanahan must be just feeling sick today. That, again, he's always talked about as the most genius offensive mind in football, and he just can't get past the Chiefs, because there's another amazing offensive mind on the other side, Andy Reid, who is now like cementing himself as one of the best coaches of all time. 3 Super Bowls. And he ran this play at the end. You see, like, so it's the overtime, and then the 49ers kick it, like they score a kick, and then obviously to win, the Chiefs would have to score a touchdown. But if they get a kick, then it carries on, right? In the playoffs and the Super Bowl, there's different rules to overtime. And then the Chiefs ran a play which was basically the same play that they won the Super Bowl with last year. And Mecole Hardman like basically comes to move inside and then goes back outside when the defender can't see him, and basically has a free run into the end zone, and Mahomes gets him. And he said after the game he didn't even know that he'd scored the winning touchdown. He didn't even know until Patrick Mahomes came over to him and started like jumping up and down. I'm not sure whether he was just in a blackout because he was like, "Oh my God, like what's happened? I've caught the ball here in the end zone in the Super Bowl," or he actually just thought maybe the 49ers get another chance to go again or something. But he said he didn't know what
gets
was going
so
on.
Locked in it. It's like he just needs to do his job, right? Done that bit, right? Let's go. And yeah, you forget that it's an overtime scenario where that's it. Next TD work wins, isn't it? Yeah. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Amazing stuff. And like, I mean, I was kind of really happy when I saw the result. For me, even though people are starting to hate the Chiefs because, you know, everyone hates it when people start winning and all that kind of stuff, the Chiefs are starting to get that kind of Patriots thing where people start going, "Oh God, the Chiefs win all the time." But I see the 49ers a little bit like, to me, the Chiefs are like Rocky Balboa against Dolph Lundgren in Rocky IV. I saw the 49ers to me are a little bit like the Russian team, you know, and the Chiefs are a bit more like the American team, because I love Mahomes and Kelce and all these players.
Well, I think the difference with the Chiefs is obviously, you know, we've kind of been with this kind of, you know, season all the way from the off. And, you know, those that kind of just follow the Super Bowl or the final stages of the playoffs, they're like, "Oh, sit, Chiefs, you'll win it again." And it's not really a surprise. But as you've kind of gone through the whole season, yeah, they've struggled for a lot of it. And the standout teams have been the 49ers, Ravens, and probably you mentioned a few others before you get to the Kansas City Chiefs. But the difference is, I guess it's kind of like playoff football. That's where you really get a good measure of a team. You know, it's not just, you know, playing ability and statistics. It's something else, isn't it? And they've just got that next level mentality of, you know, closing down football games and not letting, well, in, embracing the pressure.
I think that comes from Mahomes. Like the way he's built, he is just, he will not lose. He just doesn't have it in him to lose. He just wants to win so bad. I mean, last year he was doing it on one leg and he won the Super Bowl. This year he was healthy, but he had to drive his team on. And like you said, they were pretty bad for most of the season, right? I mean, not bad. They had a great defense, I would say, but the offense couldn't get it together. And again, the defense did play a great game, right? So the defense held them, but the defense gave the offense the opportunity to win the game, and they did it. And but they had a tough season because even at the beginning, if you remember training camp, there were fights in training camp. There were struggles, but that's also maybe because Andy Reid has a very intense training camp. Like, so they play pretty intense football, and you know, other coaches do it their own way. They don't like it to be so intense because they want to keep them for the season, don't want injuries. Andy Reid's a bit more old school there, from what I've heard from and read from around the league. So maybe that has a bearing on the having that intensity from the beginning of the season. You get through your struggles and you still have that kind of intensity there at the end of the season. Maybe there's something to it.
Because they had that big loss towards the end of the season, didn't they? You know, Mahomes was crying and, you know, seen as a bit of a bad loser and a bit of a crybaby, and his kind of image was taking a bit of a downward turn. But obviously, we finished the season now, and I don't think that's going to get mentioned again.
Because he's a national hero.
He's
a winner.
He's a hero, and that's it. He's been talked in the same breath as Jordan, and of course, you know, you got Brady as well, and all the big, you know, players from NFL history, and he's by far the best in this, you know, this era, and I guess he's going to be around for a fair few more years. So
yeah,
that said, they're halfway to the Patriots of six. I mean, three in the bag, but who's to say they're not going to get more?
Well, I think also they want a three-peat, right? It's been 20 years or so, 20 plus years since the last team did back-to-back Super Bowls, which shows how hard it is, right? And I think before that, it was another 20, 30 years, which was the Patriots did it last. And now is the Chiefs. And then Travis Kelce was talking about the three-peat. And that's maybe, you know, he wants to be like Jordan. Jordan did a three-peat, didn't he? I think when I watched that documentary, Save the Last Dance, I think he did the three-peat. That was driving him.
That was one of the best docs I've seen for a long time, actually.
Oh, yeah, that was so good. Especially with cutting to, you know, Michael Jordan commentating on his own career, right? With his cigar in his hand in his, like, big house. It was brilliant. Oh, and also just talking about Michael Jordan, I did enjoy the film Air as well, which is about I kind of enjoyed it. Yeah, like, you know, I like those business films, but it's about the Nike Corporation, right? And how they signed Jordan. I thought it was quite good.
Seen it, but
worth a watch. It's on Prime as well, so you can watch it.
Because Shoe Dog was a good book, wasn't it? Yeah, by the guy who. That's a really I really enjoyed that.
I don't think it's based on Shoe Dog, but the guy is in it. That it's Phil Knight at the guy's name. Okay, yeah. He's played by Ben Affleck in that.
I can see the likeness. Yeah.
Well, anyway, let's get back to the Chiefs. Andy Reid had a purple Gatorade thrown on top of him, if you were betting on that. Because I know a couple of years ago there's always a bet on like what Gatorade gets thrown on the winning coach. I always remember that bet when we had a quiz a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, we had the quiz, didn't we? Yeah. And it's quite interesting because we had our hiatus from the last pod that we did. What was it 2000 that we closed it? And it's the same. It was the same teams playing the Super Bowl.
Same year
that Ravens had Lamar Jackson with MVP. There's all sorts of like crossovers with 4 years ago. What happened this time?
True.
So
us doing a podcast again. That's another crossover.
Yeah, they could add that to that list. Yeah, that's a good way of getting a bit of promo. Actually, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll speak to the marketing department about that one. But yeah.
And anything else you wanted to add about the game? How did you feel? Were you happy with the result? Who did you feel was going to win before the game?
Like, so I thought it was going to be the, you know, Kansas City. Just, you know, history, just, you can't ignore it, can you? And, yeah, the momentum was with them, but And it's one of those, it's like, weirdly, they were the plucky team to get the win. They were the underdogs.
They were
in
the
this
underdogs,
situation,
yeah.
Even though, yeah. And that's the thing. So, like, for 49ers to win, it didn't feel right, really, to bat them. And that's why I was so desperate. I mean, yeah, be it for my own team like the Lions or a team of that nature, for them to kind of be in there, even if it's the Ravens, I could get really excited about that. But it was almost like it was difficult from a neutral's point of view. And I feel like a pure neutral now around it, that it was like, well, I can't get that excited about it. But I think the result was, I mean, it was a very good game, good advertisement for NFL, and for it to go into overtime and that many, and it's such a shame because the time of that game, I mean, it'd be great if it was a bit early, just a little bit earlier. And I could have really got into that and I would have absolutely loved it watching it live. But yeah, we may do with the highlights and it was a great advertisement for NFL, which is what you want. City Chiefs won it. It's great for the, the new followings that's there for the, the Kelce Taylor loving. And so I think it just brings a lot of people to the NFL that wouldn't do otherwise. And it didn't get too distracting. And I mean, the only bad thing was really the halftime show. I mean, Usher, I couldn't really get behind that either. So there wasn't really anything for me to kind of get really excited about. But the game didn't disappoint. And often on these occasions, it does. I had not much else to say, really.
I think the next thing they need to do, the NFL, is push that start time earlier, right? To get to an international audience, maybe there's because they have such a big audience in Europe. Maybe that would be brilliant if it got moved into the sort of afternoon or something like that. So it's a little bit earlier.
It used to be in the day because you see, like, the best halftime show is the Michael Jackson in 1992. And that was in the midday and at blue skies over Los Angeles, I think it was. And that's perfect time for watching it in Europe. Even if it's LA time, we could probably get a good chance of watching it. So
maybe one day. But yeah, put it in the suggestion box to the chief, to the commissioner. And let's see what they do. But I mean, the more fans we get over here, the more pressure that makes to make it a bit earlier. Would be great to watch one. Maybe we just have to keep the pod going, and then one day we'll get over there and
That'd be good. And I think, our kind of looking ahead moment, I think, because this will be the last part of the season. Looking ahead, we'll probably have a draft special. Maybe a couple of episodes around the draft. And then next year, I suppose our goal remains to make it to the Super Bowl. Should we reignite, we don't have the same hiatus that we had last time, and we kind of come back fresh in September, or maybe August as a bit of a preview to everything, then that's quite exciting, actually. Now we're actually doing the pod. Yeah, when we kind of spoke before, or we're kind of talking about when we're going to do the pod again, it's like, because we're out of the routine. But now, obviously, we're back talking again. I quite enjoy it.
I think it's...
So it'd be a shame to stop.
Exactly. So I think listener, if you enjoyed it, do let us know. Give us a comment. And obviously, any encouragement to keep going is always good. But yes, we will do, because I'm very passionate about the NFL draft. So hopefully we can do one around then. Maybe just a recap of what happened in the draft to give you the little... We're good at, I think, giving you the little tidbits that you need to know. Not the huge in-depth stuff, but a little bit of, surface knowledge to talk to your friends down the pub.
There's a lot of information out there, isn't it? And we kind of, bring it all together in a nice compact box. And
hopefully
don't bore you with the detail.
But we'll be, I'm sure we'll, as the season comes around, we'll get excited again and then we'll do it. And we have an extra quest, and the quest next year would be to also do one regularly through the playoffs, because seeing as we did take a massive hiatus through this one. But I think that kind
no
of
holidays.
Wraps up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No days off. Although, guess who is having days off? Moving into the next topic. Bill Belichick. Even though he was famous for his no days off speech, but he is going to be taking some days off because he wasn't hired in this coaching cycle. Can you believe it? The best coach to ever grace the game by all, you know, pretty much general consensus. And no one wanted to hire him after his time in New England. So Bill, all the roles have been filled. There was no role for Bill. So it looks like Bill will either take some time off or go do some TV next year, unless something happens.
TV or, yeah, it'd be interesting what, something's going to happen. I mean, and as we know, as the season progresses, there's going to be lots of coaching changes anyway. So it's a bit of a hiatus for Bill, I'd say.
And I think someone,
he's not ready to retire, is he?
No. And I think some owner will regret that decision because, you know, all the owners, they bet on these young things, right? Young people to come in and revamp and refresh the franchise, but they don't always work out, very rarely work out, because it's a very hard job being an NFL head coach. You know, they bring in people with play calling experience on one side of the ball, but the you know, running a whole organization, all the main elements of the game, that's a lot of work, right? So Bill, with the experience, obviously, but that comes, having that much experience comes with baggage, right? That they want to do things their way. They don't want to, they want to kind of maybe bump heads with the owner. And these owners, very rich billionaires, maybe don't want to take that kind of, they don't want someone to come in and tell them what to do or whatever. So I think that's probably what's happened this year. And Bill's been left without, in all the, you know, the, what's it called, musical chairs of everything. Bill was left without a chair, but you can guarantee that some of these coaches, probably at least 10, will fail next year and be out the door and won't live up to the owner's expectations and will get nice payoffs. And then someone will be like, oh, Bill, please come and sort out our franchise. Were there any particular coaching jobs that you had your eye on? That, not that you wanted to take a coaching job, but that you were interested in who's going to get that and what's going to happen there?
I mean, I've not had my finger on the pulse with that area, so I'm happy for you to kind of cover this. But I think it's tricky with the likes of Bill Belichick, and it's, you know, it's the culture that he's left behind at the Patriots, and you know the toxicity around it, and for them it's a breath of fresh air replacing, but also things can go too far the other way, can't it? And you know, sometimes that structure is necessary, particularly with like football players that are kind of used to a structured regime, and then suddenly they're given freedom, then they kind of can go off the rails slightly. And if you do have that kind of situation, someone like Bill, because he's so respected and, you know, been around for many years, he's got probably the right kind of reputation and people doing the basics right again. And and sometimes, because he's been at the Patriots for so long, it's very difficult to do when you've been there for so long and you kind of, everything's kind of ingrained, you're not looking at things from an outside perspective. But maybe the break will do him good. I know he doesn't want a holiday, but I think he'll take the job. He will be able to kind of reflect on things, realize what went wrong, and hopefully he's kind of got that in him to kind of be able to kind of be, I suppose, have kind of full review on it. But I suppose his success has probably been down to like a very narrow mind and focus, and maybe that's just what he needs to be. He needs to be a bit of a dick.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can't deny his success, but I mean, well, you're the one who called him a dick, not me. But I think you're right. Maybe it's good to have a year off, refresh. He looked like he needed a bit of a break at the end of it. It's been a long, the intensity that goes into these jobs, it must be a lot, right? The intensity and focus, as you say. So I think it's probably, maybe he'll enjoy a year off, come back. There'll be a better job there waiting for him. And I think you said some good words on that. So I'll just quickly just say some major things, like just the biggest coaching maybe hires. But Raheem Morris was hired for the Falcons, and that job was the one that Bill was really looking at and had many interviews with the owner. But they opted for someone who actually used to work for their organization as an interim head coach for maybe 10 years ago. And then he has a great reputation around the league as a very good coach. And he was previously at the Rams. seems like a great person, great coach. I'm actually happy he's got a job again and has got an opportunity to be a head coach again. But will the Falcons rue the day they missed out on Belichick? That's the team that will look at it and think, if this doesn't work, we missed out. But good luck to Raheem Morris. Carolina Panthers hired a guy called Dave Canales, who has no experience. So he's coming in to do the head coach job for the first time ever. He was an assistant head coach at Tampa Bay. Then you've got Mike Zimmer came in as a defensive coordinator in the Cowboys. So he was previously the Vikings head coach. And he's come in as a defensive coordinator at the Cowboys because the Washington Commanders hired the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys called Dan Quinn. So we talked about him before. And who else do we got? Oh, yeah, Antonio Pierce got the Las Vegas Raiders job. So he's also he came in on the interim basis last year, took over the team, but inexperienced again. Now, the Chargers did hire someone with a lot of experience, Jim Harbaugh, who has got, actually, he was a coach who took the 49ers to the Super Bowl many years ago, then went to coach in the college game. And he actually just won a national championship with Michigan. And now he's been hired back. So people think he's one of the great best hires of this coaching cycle. But again, he's someone who wants to run the whole organization, right? So he's someone who's very experienced, a bit older, and wants to run everything. So they basically had to clear house there to allow him to do what he wanted with the organization. But they wanted to do it. And I think that's, where Bill left. One of the, like a coach, I think he was a linebackers coach before, who was at the Patriots, became the head coach, Jared Mayo, his name is. And he's
okay.
He's had some positive vibes when you talk to the press, his press conferences. He's had some good press conferences so far, so looks to be interesting. And I think that's, the Seahawks hired Mike McDonald, again, someone you won't know, but he was a coordinator at, I think, Tennessee Titans. And, Titans hired someone we don't know as well, another inexperienced head coach. Can you see the pattern here? All inexperienced head coaches getting
new
hired.
New blood, though. New blood.
Yes. It's good that these people get a chance, but will they rue the day they missed out on one of the greatest coaches of all time? Time will tell. I think that's about it as a little wrap-up. Lamar Jackson won MVP, which obviously really means nothing at the end of the day because, you know, even though he had a good season, they didn't win the Super Bowl. That was Patrick Mahomes.
Super Bowl, it's...
Yeah. Go on.
So you get, that's the real MVP at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah. Super Bowl or bust. That's the quest, not just for us, but for everyone else.
Yeah, you're with us at the beginning of a wave, and hopefully we can make that wave bigger and bigger as we go into next year. So, thanks very much.
Beautiful. That's a perfect place to sign off. Goodbye to all of you 2 points, one goal fans out there. And we wish you a nice off season.
Enjoy.
Toodaloo.